the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Everyone say goodness. God wants to crown this year with his goodness. And I believe the righteous will have his goodness all year long. I don't believe, as I said, I don't believe you will go about as a beggar. The year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Everyone say goodness. God wants to crown this year with his goodness. And I believe the righteous will have his goodness all year long. I don't believe, as I said, I don't believe you will go about as a beggar. Because you are not a beggar, you're a child of the King. And all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Let us look at that again. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. God is saying, your paths are going to be prosperous. Fatness means plenty. God sees what we have need of, and the righteous are in line for his manifold blessings. That's not a prosperity gospel per se. That is just the word. God wants his people to know that they're children of the King. They're children of the Most High God. I want to speak on the subject today. Have a happy new year. This is the newest year we've got. 09, before you know it, it's going to be 010, and then it's going to be 020 and 050. Some of us, I hope all of us are going to be in glory by that time. I think it's near. Let us pray. Father, bless your word as we study together. I pray for your anointing. I pray that you'd touch my body today, Lord. Touch my throat. I need your touch today. Give us open hearts. Give us open ears. Let our spirit be attuned to the Spirit of the living God today, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Have a happy new year. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. God is saying through the psalmist that he wants your year to be blessed. I know there's some things will come along. As we will see in this message today, there's some things that come along that we don't really like. They're not too tasteful. They're not too delightful. But life is real and life is earnest. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And I think sometimes there's some things happened because of the curse that took place in the garden that day. There's some things that take place, but I want to tell you something today. The Lord is still the God that gives blessings. He's still God that works out situations and circumstances. He's still God that wants to supply all your needs. He's still God who wants you to have a good job. He wants you to be blessed, and you're going out and you're coming in. When you lie down and when you rise up, when you go out to your fields, as it was back in those days, they went out, everyone virtually went out to labor in the fields and the harvest and in the vineyard and the different things. Some of them had sheep and some of them had cattle, goats and what have you. But they all went out to labor. And when they went out, they were blessed of the Lord. And when they came back in the gates of the fold, they were blessed of the Lord. Why? Because God's children are blessed. God wants you to know that you are blessed, and he wants you to see that he is for you and not against you. Now, society may be against the righteous. Society may be against holiness. They may be against purity. They may be against you praying in Jesus' name. They may be against putting the Ten Commandments in the courthouse and saying prayers at the inaugural. They may be against you. There's a fraction of people who are trying to get the Bible and prayer and the name of God taken out of all our society. And what I don't understand is this one thing, how a little minority, or in the case of taking prayer and Bible out of the schools, one lady could go before the courts and get that done. I don't understand those things. But I do stand this morning to say that God has not lost his power. God is still the God of this new year as he was the last year. And he still prospers and blesses in a spiritual sense and in a monetary sense and in a physical sense. God is still God. And God wants you to know that today, that he is still on your side. Now, he said, thou crownest the year with thy goodness and thy paths drop fatness. God pours out his abundance upon us. Now, there's certain ingredients today that go into making a happy year, that go into having a good and prosperous year. And we're going to look at four of those things today. And I know our time is short. It has so gotten away from us this morning, but stick with me this morning. Let's look into the Word of God. I think the Word of God is very, very important. First of all, the first ingredient that goes into having a good and prosperous year, I believe, is you must be positive. You must be positive. God wants his people to be positive. He doesn't always want them to be on the bottom. He doesn't want you to be always negative. There is much world of sin, sorrow, and suffering. There's so much negativism. So many people are down and out, and nothing's going to be right. Nothing's happening right. Nothing's been right. And they're just always on the bottom, and that seems to just be the story of their lives. Let me tell you something, sir and ma'am. If you stay around someone like that all the time, before you know it, it is catching. And it will rub off on you more than what you would like for it to. And I believe we need to try to encourage them. We need to lift them up. We need to inspire them. But we need to do it in faith in God's word, that God is still God and God is still in control. God hasn't lost his ability to encourage. He's not lost his ability to be a blessing to you. He's not lost his ability to open doors for you, to give you a new job, to see that you have a comfortable place to live, to see that your kids are fed and clothed and shoes on their feet. I know I went through a period of time in the ministry when it seemed like there just wasn't enough finances coming in. I was pastoring a good church, frequently running over 200 people, two brand new buildings we built there, money in the savings account, money in the building. But I know what it is not to have enough income to buy clothing for the kids and shoes for their feet and really anything else. Not even sufficient food to put on the table, because it was just one of those things that happened. But I knew a God in heaven who knew how to answer prayer. Come on, give me an amen. And I prayed to my God and I said, God, the kids need shoes to wear to school. The kids need food. We need food to put on our table. We've got a good people. We've got a good church. And it seems that we're hoarding away money. You see, folks, let me tell you something. We are not a savings and loan in the kingdom of God. We're a soul saving station. And after all, I think that God's work needs to go forward with full force, with the needs met and people's hearts blessed and looking up unto the Lord in faith that God is still God. Say amen this morning. Amen. But I knew a God in heaven. And you know, God is the one who employed me a long, long time ago. He called me into the ministry. And if God calls you, you know, he's your employer. And so I went to God and I said, God, these things are needs in my life. So God sent us a good family at our church. And I was telling this here recently. And this is a businessman and his wife out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they were living out at the lake there out from where we lived. And they came to our church. And they'd been formerly in the Baptist church, but they got full of the Holy Ghost. And so they were coming to a Pentecostal church. And he sensed somehow in his spirit that the pastor had needs. So he just put in an extra check every month, and it was $100, and he put on the little memo note down there for Pastor Barron. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. $100 doesn't seem like much, but you take 35 years ago, $100 is like $1,000 today. And it helped to buy groceries. It helped to buy shoes for the babies. It helped to put clothes on their back and to pay the payment on the house. God still is still God, and He still knows how to answer your prayer, because He said, I am God, and I will provide, and I will lift you up, and I will bring strength to you, and I will prosper. I'm going to get happy. Can I get happy? Hallelujah. God said, I'm still the God of fatness. I'm still the God who knows how to put weight on those bones, Sister Patricia, on Austin. God is still God who knows how to give that young man a good appetite. God, even so, let it be. Let it be. I speak a blessing over Austin this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The word is still truth. God is the God of the word. Whatever your situation this new year, just be happy and positive in Jesus, because God is for you and not against you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's still your friend. He's still your father. And I want to tell you something. He owns all those diamonds down there in Africa and in America. And all those taters under the heels, where those cattle on 1,000 heels are. I mean, if your father today, if he owns everything and you're his son or daughter, is he not capable of meeting your need? So why not be encouraged? You know, be positive today. The news is mostly all bad. I mean, what do you hear coming on CNN and ABC and CNBC? What do you hear coming on Fox? Isn't most of the news you hear is about the wrecks and the volcanic activity and about the storms and about the wars and about the dying? The news is mostly all bad. And it causes many to become pessimistic. Oh God, is anything going right? Is anything going to be good? Is anything going to happen that's good? Be positive today. We must look for the Lord. We must look for Him. You see, God is still God, and God is alive. He's saving souls. He's meeting needs, and He's coming soon. Hallelujah. You and I, I believe, are the generation, the end time generation, is going to see the splitting of the skies and the clouds come again when Jesus is in those clouds, and we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Mom and Dad may be in the grave, but they're going to hear and come forth. Brother and sister, whoever was there and died in saving grace and faith, they're going to come forth. We're not going to prevent them from coming forth. Hey, I want to tell you something, church. You need to be positive. Baron needs to be positive today. There's some good things on the horizon. Brother Jay, there's some good things on the horizon in your life, in your family. Look unto God. He's your father. He's the provider. He's the one who will lift you up when you're down. He's the one who will minister to your need when there's not $1 left in the checking account. He's the one who will help you get a car when your car has bit the dust. He's the one who will give you shoes to put on your feet when you don't have sufficient shoes to wear. My Father is still God over heaven and earth. He still has the power and the ability and the authority, and He knows how to work in your favor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We should be aware of what is happening in the world without allowing it to darken and destroy our lives. There's a lot of doom and gloom going on. There's a lot of storms that are taking place in the world. There are dark black clouds coming up on the horizon of time. And if you look at that and get so involved in that, you'll become pessimistic and you'll think, God, is nothing going to go right? But let me just tell you once again that there's not one thing going to happen on planet Earth that my Father hasn't already prophesied, hasn't already predicted and told us about. He's still in control. He was the creator way back there when, and He's the one who's going to close this thing out. The devil would like to cause you to believe that there's nothing going right in your life, that nothing good is going to happen to you, that you're a total failure, and everything is dismal, and everything is bleak and black. But children of God, let me tell you today, God is still God. And God loves His family. Oh, Brother A. N. Trotter used to say when he preached our camp meeting, Jeannie and I'd take him home to Red Oak and let him minister to us all afternoon as he lay on our couch. But he used to say that God loves his kids. Amen. God loves his kids. We are the kids of God. He is our Father. So be positive today. We must look for the good. And good things are happening too. Look for the good. Look for the good in each other. You know, it's easy to see each other's faults. You know, you can look at your kids. You can look at your neighbor across the aisle. Turn and look at someone across the aisle. Come on, everybody, turn and look at someone. You can see the bad in people if you know them. If you know them very well or know them for a few days. But hey, what about seeing the good that's in them? They're Christians. They raise their children. They provide for their children. They love Jesus. They love the work of God. They're here today because they wanted to come to the house of God and bless the Lord and worship the Lord. Look at all the good that they do. They give to missions. They help to support evangelists. They give in the building fund. They pay their tithes. There's so many good things that's within each one of us today. Don't just be looking for the bad in everybody. All things are not bad today. God is on the throne. Miracles are still happening. Praise God. Miracles are still happening. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Miracles are still happening. Jesus raised the dead. He healed the lame, the leper, the blind, those who had never been able to see and those who had never been able to walk. Jesus healed them, and he said, greater works than these shall you do. So God is on the throne. Secondly, the second ingredient that goes into having a good and prosperous year is be prayerful. I don't mean to sound redundant today, and I don't think you can be redundant on these things because it's in the Word over and over and over and over again. But the second thing to have a good year is to be prayerful. Now, if you don't have a prayer life, then this may not be too interesting to you. But if you've got a prayer life, you can say, amen, Pastor. How many are still here? Let me see your hand. You're still here today. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, let your request be made known unto God. In everything. Let your request be known unto God. So I believe what he's saying here, what Paul is saying, is that in everything you do, talk to the Father. Let your needs be known. Let your requests be known to him. Let him know. You know, he knows what you have need of even before you ask, the Bible says. But he said ask, and he wants us to ask. He wants us to pray. He wants us to be intimate in the prayer closet of worship and communion and commitment and dedication. So this ingredient is very, very important, is prayer. Some think that praying makes no difference. Others just simply forget, neglect, or fail to pray. But I want to tell you today, prayer does make a difference. If I didn't, I wouldn't pray. I went home last evening and I told my wife, I said, I had a good prayer today. As some of you know, I haven't been feeling that well for 2 weeks. I've been nursing a cold, trying to my best to get over it. I've tried water once or twice. Lots of times. I ate oranges, ate apples. I eat nuts. I'm kind of fruit. Full today, I guess, kind of nutty. And I've tried pills and I've tried aspirins and I've tried, and I pray and I seek God, and you've been praying for me. And it seems that when I get up here and get anointed, it makes all the difference in the world. But I believe in miracles. I believe God wants to perform miracles. He still hears. I'm a firm believer in God answering prayers. God hears us when we pray. Don't fail to pray because you don't think it makes any difference, that it does any good. God wants us to pray and seek his face. Prayer makes all the difference. God does things in answer to prayer that he otherwise would not do. I want you to get that today. God does things in answer to prayer that he otherwise would not do. Because you have not, because you ask not. And that tells me that in prayer, God does things. When you ask, as the scripture here said, that in all things, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. God knows where you are. He knows your situation. But he wants you to pray. He wants us to, I'm talking about how to have a happy new year. I don't want to have a dismal, black, and terrible year. I want to have a good year this year. I'm encouraged. I'm looking forward to the church doing good. I'm looking forward to a new building program. I'm looking forward to God's people laboring and working and ministering and getting things from God and getting the work of God done. I'm looking forward to God doing so many things. I'm just positive today. And I thank God as we go into this year that we can have a good and prosperous year. How to have a good year? Pray. Prayer does change things and it changes people. We must pray more this coming year. We must pray more this coming year. Come on. We must pray more this coming year. Prayer brings joy. If you have no joy, maybe you need to try praying. Prayer brings joy. God answers prayer. And God is the God of joy. He's the one who brings joy to your heart. Prayer makes everything possible to those who believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. And prayer opens the door. Someone said it like this. I don't know how many decades ago it's been. But prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. And moves and gets things done. If prayer is the muscle that moves the arm of God. He said pray, pray, pray always. Pray without ceasing. Pray in the morning. Pray at noon. Pray at night. Many Christians wonder why they're destroyed in their faith in God when they don't get up praying. They don't go to bed praying. And they wonder what happened to their victory and to their love and to their commitment and to the feeling of a good, sound feeling of God in their lives. Go back to praying. You'll make a difference. Thirdly, the third ingredient to having a happy year is to persevere. Persevering. Watching, Paul said, watching with all perseverance. Watching with all perseverance. Troubles, trials, and testings will come. They do come. You know what it's like to be tested and tried. They have come. I know we ask the question, why, God? Why? Why does this happen? Why has this happened the way it has? Lord, why did my child die? Why did my companion die? I've been there. You have, in some situations, you've been there. Why, God? I don't understand these. God didn't ask us all to understand the whys, but just to trust him. We're not going to know it all until all this life is finished and done. And then I don't know that it's going to make a lot of difference when we get in the presence of the Lord where we shall look upon his face for all eternity. We shall bow at his feet. But he asks us to persevere. Notice what he said, watching with all perseverance. These troubles and these testings do come, but it takes both bitter and sweet ingredients to make a cake, so they tell me. Both bitter and sweet. Or to make a good life. The good and the bad work together for our good and God's glory. Now it takes, I found this out in working a little bit in electric, Brother Joe. I'm not an electrician. Sometimes I wonder, how does this thing work? I don't understand how it works. But I do know one thing, you've got to have a negative. And you've got to have a positive. All of your electric motors that you run, they're not going to just run on positive. They got to have some negative there. They got to have some ground in there. These things work together. Your life, I want to tell you something. God never promised you a bed of roses every day of your life. He promised you that trials and tribulations will come. He promised that many would suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if you suffer with me, you shall also rule with me. If we suffer with him, we shall also rule with him. We shall reign with him. Folks, I want to tell you, troubles will come your way. There's not a whole lot you can do about it except walk straight. Talk with God. Go on through the troubles and the tribulations. Go on through the storms and look for the other side, because weeping may endure for today or tonight, but joy comes in the morning. God is going to see where you are. My friend, God knows what you're going through, and he's going to see you through on the other side. Why? Because he wants you to have a good year. He wants your family to be blessed. Exercise increases strength. Exercise in your faith. It increases more faith and more love and more perseverance and all these things. And I can't get into all of that. Lastly, the last ingredient that I'd like to talk to you about having a good and prosperous year is be productive. Now notice I didn't say be lazy. Some people think if they can just be lazy, everyone else will do all the work. You know, the Word of God puts it like this. If a man won't work, don't let him eat. That'll get him up off his... I'm looking for that word to use. If a man won't work, neither should he eat. I tell you what you do. If you got a lazy one in your family, when it comes time to eat, if you got six in your family, just set five plates. When they come in there, say, no, you've been lazy. You won't get out and work. You just go wait this meal out. I know it's quiet. I'm just giving you the word. Be productive. Work. Some people in the church, they won't let the deacons and the teachers and the pastor do all the work. Now, it's not that way here. I know we got so many wonderful workers. When I see them over here working late at night, Wendy and Lisa and a whole bunch of you. And I see you over here, and Diane was over here decorating and things. I appreciate this. I know that there's people who are productive. They're productive. They love God. They love the work. They love the ministry. This is a cooperative operation. And this is where everybody gets involved. Some sing, some play the piano or the drums or the bass guitar. Some take care of the PA controls back there. There's a job to do. Some drive the vans and the buses, and they work with the Royal Rangers and the missionettes and the janitor and clean the floor. All of this is part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen now? We are productive. We must be productive. Amen. I'm just about finished, but it says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Doing good service as to the Lord. You know what? Sometimes we think, well, I'm not going to do that for that man. Hey, do it for the Lord. Sometimes you may not like that person. The Holy Spirit says you need to do that for that man. You need to help that man. You need to help that woman and her children. You need to go over and mow their lawn, or you need to do this or that for them. And we think, well, you know, why doesn't she do it? Or why doesn't she get her brother to do it? Why doesn't she get that lazy son that's 16 years old to do it? I want to tell you something. Do it as to the Lord, not unto men. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Ephesians 6 and 7. Many Christians fail to work for God because they're interested only in selfish pursuits. What I can get out of this? It's going to get a lot of people in trouble one of these days. In the stock markets, in the financial institutions, in the automotive institutions today, there's a lot of greed. There is a lot of greed. One of these companies went bankrupt and was bought out by another bank. And yet the previous, and I think I may have mentioned this the other night, and that CEO of that company, who was CEO when it went bankrupt, he went before when it merged with Bank America and requested $50 million and got it for his work when the bank went down. I mean, tell me, folks, what reasoning is in that? I don't understand. There's so much greed out there. They're interested only in selfish pursuits. They're unfulfilled and unhappy. Look at that guy that stole $50 billion from people, even charitable organizations. Over in Israel, some of their children's homes and over there invested in that man's business, trying to make a living. And here he was swindling, and to his friends, $50 billion, never been anything like it in this. How would you like to be that man today? I'd be afraid if I were him to get out on the street. Someone's going to take aim, and someone's going to say, you swindled $100 million from me, buddy, and you're not going to live. You're going to pay for it. I mean, there's people out there will do it. And you watch, if he gets out on the... He's already threatened. His life has been threatened. How could you have joy the rest of your life, even though you had maybe $5 billion or $100 million? I mean, that's not living. Be productive. We should labor for the Lord. We find purpose in living when we lose ourselves in meaningful service for Him. We find purpose in living. There's purpose in living. Those of you who teach Sunday school classes, I'm going to tell you, I don't do this enough, but I'm going to tell you, I appreciate your labor. I appreciate your getting under the load and teaching. It may not be a Sunday school class. It may be with the children on Wednesday night. It may be driving the bus, Brother Gene. It may, Brother Jeff, it may be driving the bus. Sister Don, whoever all drives those vans, I want to tell you, there is a work, and it's precious, and it's rewarding. At the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, you can feel good about being involved, about doing something for the kingdom of God. In closing, we do not find happiness by searching for it. It is a byproduct resulting from prayer, right living, right thinking, perseverance, and productive service. It is a byproduct. Happiness is a byproduct. In this new year, let's get involved. Let's involve ourselves. Let's don't let Sister So-and-so do all the work. You ladies, get involved. You may say, but I'm 70 years old. I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can get with that lady who carries a lot of the load and say, what can I do to help you? You can get with Lisa and Debbie and Diane and some of these ladies and say, what can I do? And they will let you help them. They will let you do something. And a pastor may not have all the things because I so depend on these departmental leaders. And they've been such a tremendous blessing. I think pastors should know what's going on. You don't appoint anybody without consulting the pastor. But I depend on these people and this productivity and this happiness and developing happiness in the Lord. So let's realize that happiness is a product of prayer, right living, perseverance, and productive service for the Lord. Father, I thank you today for a brand new year. I thank you for a wonderful people. God, I love this people. I thank you for my teachers and workers. I thank you for my precious men, my deacons and my workers, the laborers. Lord, I thank you for all of these, for everybody. Lord, I just want us to get the message that today we need to be positive. Lord, we need to labor in the harvest. We need to recognize that God is still God, that God helps us, that God wants to provide for our needs, that God is still in control. In Israel, he's still in control. In the Middle East, he's still in control. In America, God is still God. He knows what's happening. Because your word says, Lord, you set kings up and you take kings down. I just believe, God, while it may not be the man that we want as our president, maybe he is the man that we want as our president. I believe God had a hand in this. Maybe he gave us what we needed. Maybe he gave us what we deserved. God, we just believe God. And Lord, we just want to look unto you today that every need is met and that we can be faithful unto the very end. Thank you, Lord. I want you to stand this morning. Do you want to have a good year? You don't want to have a bad year. You don't want to be discouraged all year long. You don't want to be sick all year long. I believe God said He's the God that heals. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, God wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that any should go to hell. He's a good God. Whatever your need is today, this morning, I'm just going to have you to stand right where you are, and we're going to pray. We're going to go with God, and we're going to tonight come back into the services. Maybe we'll be praying around these altars, seeking God on this first day, this first Sunday. Whatever your need is today, if you need salvation, God says just pray and believe, and you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Maybe all of us are saved today. If you have needs, whatever it is, I want you to pray right where you are. Come on, let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank You for what You're doing in this place, in this body. I thank You for our homes, our families who are represented here today. I thank You for our laborers, for our workers. I thank You, Lord, that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Lord, this year we're going to have a good year. This year we're going to have a prosperous year. This year this church is going to go forward on its knees with a broken heart and tear-stained eyes. We're going to go in full force into the harvest field. God, I pray for wisdom and courage for each and every family, for help, and that all the needs would be met. God, I pray for Your direction for our families. And I pray that the peace of God that passeth all understanding would permeate the hearts and minds and souls of every individual of this church. God, touch the backslider, touch the lost, touch the sinner. God, I pray that the Word would find a lodging place in the heart of the backslider, would find a lodging place in the heart of the sinner, that they'd cry out to the Lord of glory, "Have mercy upon me." Touch and refresh Your church today. Father, in the name of Jesus, may we go in grace. Hallelujah. If anyone has a special need today, we're open to pray for you.